Archie the fence worked really hard to, you know, sort of keep the dam wall intact. Though I guess how disappointing was that third quarter with what Collingwood were eventually able to do, or was it inevitable, do you think?
Well, I think you just got to look at context, really. What we're doing, and seven players under 10 games. I think there's 9, 21 on under and 14 under 50. So I couldn't tell you Collingwood's profile, but it's clearly stronger. I'd even just compared like Taylan Demand chasing Hoskin Elliott, who was an incredibly early pick, I think, for GWS, who's a super athlete, but it's taken him 7 years to come to grips with the physicality of the game and the work rate required to become a good player, and he's clearly a good player, so we'd like to do it quicker than 7 years. But it's a good example I use to my players, that the game gives you the feedback on being all in, you know, in your career to build your profile, to compete against great players and great teams, you know. And Collingwood are a good team. They haven't proven to be a great team. But Pendlebury, I just spoke to Bailey Banfield, he said Sidebottom and Pendlebury just react so quick, it's one step and they're away. So they're the lessons, and really the feedback, you can use whatever word, but the improvements that are needed from young players to become elite players of the competition. So they experienced some of the best through that midfield, and we would have liked our tackle and our hit to have been better around the ball in that third quarter. Like, they had 9 clearances, they went for 7 entries, and they got ground position and put us under pressure, whereas we had 10 around the ground clearances. A lot of them were centre back, but we had 1 entry. So it's about quality. And so that was the sort of feedback. If you think Atness and Jones versus Grundy, and Grundy's 5 games, 12 games, 18, and he's an elite ruckman, but just his physical preparation, he competes. And I thought they handled him around the ground, but his ruck work was quite dominant. So I don't know about inevitable, but AFL is a great reality check, you know. So you can come here with intentions to compete, which we did, and enthusiasm and vibrancy, but the realities of the game are very sobering. But to do what we did and continue the fight and kick 7 goals in the last quarter, if I'm sitting back in Perth and I'm a member and I'm a partner of the club, I'm part of the Docker community, you saw, you know, Gyro kick his first goal, you see Cox growing. Chera went to a half-back flank, Demand to a wing. So there was some, you know, there was some performances within that you think we are growing and improving. So that's just our reality. And I'm all in, and the players are all in. And, you know, we just got to keep persisting and persevering.
Speaking about learning experiences, you put Langdon to Phillips at one stage there. I know Phillips is pretty young himself, but he's having a fair influence on the game. Is that sort of what you're talking about?
Yeah, it was. That was an opportunity. Ed, in his own right, is an elite runner. But you see weight of numbers through the midfield, he was getting off the chain. So we just put Ed to him because we know he can run and compete. And I thought Ed caused one of our goals in the last quarter. He stopped an exit, picked it up, competed, lowered his eyes. So he didn't dull him completely, but I thought he sort of curtailed him a bit, you know. So, that's exactly right. You're looking for little wins, you know. Banfield went to the midfield. So we just kept exploring and probing with different opportunities for our players, and we'll continue to do that because that's what was required. And, you know, last week I put McCarthy to centre-half back, or the week before, for a little while at Sydney. And Croden went to the back flank. So we just got to keep, you know, at some point do you put Fife to centre-half back and have a look at him there, because he's carrying a big load forward and mid. But they're the things we're in a position to be able to do.
You 27 for inside 50s. How were they able to get it inside 50 so easily, and you guys not today?
Well, I think I just went through that with respect, and it's not even been pushing back at you, but the reality is they cleared the ball from clearances, and when they got ground position, their pressure was pretty good. As I said, their spread off some of our younger mids, when you saw Walters, Mundy and Fife combined in there, it was pretty slick at times, wasn't it, with Langdon and Sheridan. But there's enough young players. It's AFL, everyone wants to, I don't know how they describe it, but AFL's a game of compete and transition. It's more transition than anything. So if you're a second off in transition, or 2 seconds, you get easy entries against and you can lock it in. There's a lot about ground position. It's a game of transition. There's 65, 70 general play turnovers for each. That's 140. You know, the game goes 100, it's almost two turnovers per minute. So the game's going like this. So young players aren't drilled to continually find great players like Sidebottom and Pendlebury. So that's the answer I've got for you. And the reality is you've got to train that up over time.
How did you see Kirsten's transition into defence?
I thought there were some good signs. I thought his ball use, he had some good come forwards, like some assertive defence. And his feedback, there were some one-on-ones where, you know, he could probably find the body a bit more and bring it to ground a little bit, I would have thought. So, yeah, there's nothing to hide there. I thought there were some good signs for us with that. So, yeah, we'll continue to persist. I thought we'll bold at selection. We'll continue to be bold.
Have you got any concerns over Fife's hit on Greenwood?
I didn't see that. It's not just a throwaway line. But even if I did, I mean, unless you're going to pay my fine for the comments on the MRP, I'm probably not prepared to comment.
They don't pay me enough.
Yeah.
Harley Bennell, is there any update on the...
Yeah, just what? We got a text yesterday from a development coach on the run in the game that they've tapped Harley out. He had calf tightness, a bit of tone. So when it tightens, it's got a bit of tone. Felt like he hasn't done anything, so they called him out. Harley texted me and said it was a smart move. I think I'm fine. So, yeah, but it's still frustrating. But it's still the big picture for Harley. Like, there is no saviour for us or boom recruit. It's going to be a weighted numbers exercise where everyone's all in and aims to improve their footy and commits to the harder choices every moment to take us forward. So that's the only model I know. That's the only model that works. And if Harley can do that, he's an important part, obviously, at trying to build a good team.
How confident are you that he can get back to AFL level?
Well, I think you're asking me to answer, am I confident in his attitude to do the work? Well, that's been unfailing. You know, I think it's well documented that he works incredibly hard, and all of us, when we get devastated and challenged, sometimes don't handle it how we should. And he would acknowledge he hasn't been perfect. But he's also had a great capacity to get back on the horse, be supported by the club and commit and train and get back. So we're more confident at this point in time than we've ever been, even withstanding him being tapped out on the weekend. And I think we all know what we're dealing with here, his ability to play footy, because otherwise you wouldn't be talking about someone that hasn't played for 2 years. So we all know the opportunity that presents for our club, and we all know we'd love to see Harley body stand up and come and play some great footy. I mean, it was Sir Doug Nicholls round this weekend, and Harley sits in that basket of a young Noongar player that can really express himself on the footy field and build his life. So we'd all like to see that happen.
You mentioned when you got a good combination in that midfield, it did look slick at times.
Yeah.
But and you mentioned also the load that's on your skipper.
Yeah.
And again, obviously, you were missing a lot of those really experienced players.
Well, not a lot, just a handful. I'm not sure where we're at. Yeah.
Still significant players in the Netherlands and the Hills, etc. But what did you think today of guys like Fife, Neil, you know, when the heat was on through the midfield?
I thought they were fine. Lucky enough, we got kicked in a calf, could hardly move after quarter time. But yeah, we put Fife forward in the third quarter. The last quarter, he put himself back in. We withstood the temptation. There was, when they had a run on, was, do you put, let's create a seventh defender, but let's get Mundy in the midfield, but we got to get minutes into Brayshaw and Chera. And I thought I don't know what you guys, how you saw it, but we didn't put a seventh there.
Yep.
We kept Chera and Brayshaw in the midfield, and we didn't put Mundy into the last quarter, and we put Fife forward. He actually put himself, and we put Lachie Neal forward, so we put Demand to a wing, we put Gyro inside, Banfield in particular. So we've got to hold our nerve. We can't protect the scoreboard, although it was a bit uncomfortable at one point.
How's Alex Pearce?
Yeah, good question. I thought his first half and the way he was defending, as you guys said, against a torrent of entries in the second quarter, was exceptional, and he was looking like a very good defender. Grundy tackled him. There was a leg collision. We think it's his ankle, even though it's on the same side. So we're really optimistic. There's nothing dramatic there. But we're always cautious until everyone cools down and gets their scans or gets checked out.
It's like you're trying to get him up and going.
Well, not me. Again, you can't let the cobblers do the cobbling. So we saw him on the bike and, you know, we said he looks like he's on the Tour de France. Why can't he get back on? And the doc said, he's got no, he couldn't turn, twist and turn. So he might be able to bike ride this week, but Yeah, we always ask, but the doctors make the call. And Connor Blakely come off, had a jab in his shoulder, so at one point we're two down when all that was happening. Just the degree of difficulty went up. But to Collingwood's credit, I think we've got to talk about them. Where our strength's been, their strength is, which is their midfield. They got good pace. They won the ball well and went forward well, and they capitalised. You know, I thought we challenged them a bit early, but they overcome the challenges. And you know, it was we played a good team today. We played a good team.
Looking forward to going down the
slide. Yeah, I am. Yeah, and look, Neil. You know, everyone knows Neil's story, but you think the tragedy he had. He was the youngest captain of Essendon, I think, or one of, and he had those knees and come back and missed out on premierships and a great career. And he went in and, you know, once you've been in the coaching chair, you understand how significant. He went and underperformed in Melbourne, turned their culture around, took them to the grand final and finals, established, grew some good players, and then went into the Coach Association and at the Eagles as a football manager, I think. So he's... And he's part of the Danaher clan, which is significant. And, you know, the way he's fought Motor Neurone is incredible. It's a cause that I don't wear it on my heart and my sleeve, but my mum died of Motor Neurone. And it's a hideous disease. And my father looked after my mum, but my wife and I, Kirsten, shifted back in and cared for her at the end, and that was a really difficult time. So anything I can do to help Neil in the cause, if we can find a cure through contributing and raising some funds, all the AFL coaches are happy to do that. So it should be a fun day. We want to have some fun. We want to fight the beast, as Neil would say, and we implore everyone to jump in behind it, as the footy community does, and raise some funds. So, yeah, I'm not sure when I'm going down. Thanks, guys. It won't be pretty, whatever it is.